Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I am so happy to have in studio with us today Mike Slavik. He is Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik. He's with the 1st District, and we are going to talk today about a topic that's near and dear to my heart, and that is housing. Great to see you.
It's great to see you as well. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in today. So, Mike, you probably have a lot of background information on this because you have been in the real estate world also. So does that add to this topic?
Oh, it absolutely does. So, So in addition to being a local realtor in the area, I also chair our community development agency, which is the affordable housing arm of Dakota County. So all 7 members of our county board are on there, and I'm in 2021 chair of that board. And so I'm very passionate about housing.
Well, let's talk about housing and what exactly you mentioned that you've been working on this for years behind the scenes, some of the issues that people do face in Dakota County. I would assume we're not different than other counties, but I would also assume that Hastings in particular is kind of isolated in that we don't have public transportation necessarily that would go to the Twin Cities or...
Yeah, so we do have a homelessness issue within Dakota County, and that you are correct. That's not much different than many of, particularly our suburban counties. Think Scott County, Carver County, Anoka, and Washington.
When you say that to people, Mike, are they shocked to hear that?
You know, they really are. And the last Wednesday of January, every year by federal law, we do a thing called point in time where we go out, we check under bridges and that and the woods, and we count how many homeless individuals are unsheltered that are in Dakota County, and the number keeps growing, and it's coming to 70 to 100. Right now, we're about 112 homeless individuals that we are currently housing, that we are aware of, that choose to have shelter in Dakota County alone.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is something that you're obviously passionate about, too, and it's great to see that Dakota County is putting some focus on it. It's a real important issue.
Yeah, and some of that was driven by the fact that Hastings, we were talking about the Hastings perspective, we lost in the last number of years 2 shelters. And some of that was for the exact reasons you said. There was no transit or transportation to get around, so if they had a job, they weren't coming to Hastings, and we were really housing individuals that were not able to do anything to be able to be safe, successful, and thrive. So we lost the Cochran Men's Shelter, and then we also lost the Harbor Teen Shelter. But we still, in Dakota County, we were running on a couple other models that we had. We have a family shelter in Egan, as well as we were doing a rotating shelter pre-COVID where we were in the churches.
Yes.
We're getting about 60 individuals every single night and during the winter months. And with COVID, they've all been put into hotel housing with that. And we've worked out some partnerships with other nonprofits and Salvation Army that we've been able to house those who choose to be housed. But we are still searching for what's that option when we lost like 60 beds in the Hastings area.
So what became of those 60 people that were in those 60 beds?
So when Cochran closed, many of them ended up in the Matrix shelter, the rotating church shelter. But then beginning of COVID, that shelter closed, and we have been able, through June of next year, we're able to house all of them in hotels. So
that is wonderful. So, and is it because people aren't traveling as much and that's why hotels are open?
Well, that was what it was initially. It's about double the cost of our own shelter, but it was reason why we're able to do this is the federal government is paying for it. So, and they're paying for it through next June. So that's what we've been doing. But we had a shelter group to try to figure out the Dakota County suburban approach as a result of losing those beds within Hastings. We just reactivated that group because we realized we're eventually going to have to figure out something post next June. And so we've been looking at some different options on what to do next.
Well, I want to hear all about this, please.
Well, thank you. Sure. So basically, you know, when we were trying to figure out how do we address, you know, so right now we're really talking about affordable housing and homelessness and not all of the great expansions we're seeing in our in Lakeville and even in Hastings, all the new houses and rooftops that are coming in. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about those who are in many times crisis situation. What we found out with Matrix is over half of our individuals were going to a job during the day and then were sleeping on a church basement, and that's in Dakota County. So we've really said there's really about 3 ways that we need to do and address this. One of them, obviously, is rental assistance. So some of it is our rents have gotten incredibly high. So how do we support that for an individual who's working and trying to do that to kind of cover that gap? The second thing is some of these individuals, as we said, they are in crisis. So we really have to, it's support services. They can't function without additional support services. So that's the second leg of the stool. And the third one is developing units that are more affordable for this. So One exciting story that will be opening up in November is that through the Dakota County Community Development Agency, we will be opening up on the 9th of November what we're calling a single resident occupancy. It's our gateway place. It's 54 units of efficiency and one bedrooms right on Robert Street. So we'll have transit there, but these are individuals, working retail, working gas stations. So you are making somewhere between $10 and $20 an hour if you were working full time, and it's efficiencies and one bedrooms at significantly reduced rents. And we have great workforce family townhouses. We've got about 900 of them around the county, but we had nothing for singles or married, no children. So this is our first of what we're hoping to see about 9 other developments that will look like that in the next 15 years. But that's kind of saying we got to build units that are somewhat affordable for those who are working as nursing assistants. They're working in our retail, and because we know we've got a job shortage right now. So this is one of the things is to be able to get a job there and be able to still have a roof over your head.
Mike, who helps people find these spots?
So with the Community Development Agency, the application is on that. So a lot of the individuals that we're finding with this wait list, we have 54 units and the wait list is over 400 people already. Many of them, some are connected with the county or services already, but also a lot of them, as we've shared this with on our city sites, on the various sites of, if you're on the voucher program, for example, you may know that, but a lot of these are individuals who currently are paying, you know, 60% of they're paying $1,100 for rent, and they're working at the nursing home in town. And so how do we find that? So we're hoping to see, just like we did with our senior units that we, like in Hastings, we have Rivertown Place and Mississippi Terrace. Those, it's the same wait list on there. So you go to the DakotaCountyCDA.org website, and you'll be able to find all that information on what we have for kind of affordable housing units that are owned through the Community Development Agency.
What do you think the rent would be for one of these efficiencies? Do you know?
So for those units up there, so
sliding
scale on there, but the rents for the efficiencies are between $700 and $800. And it's probably going to vary depending on which community they're built in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in some communities, those communities are seeing a one bedroom at over $1,000. So these are a couple hundred dollars less with that part in there. So that's kind of what's been done in there. But the cool thing is that what we've been able to do with this housing group is we basically had three recommendations to move forward on. And one of those is we're going to look at another fixed homeless shelter somewhere in Dakota County. A bricks and mortar, and probably something either closer to transportation or more centrally located within the county. The second thing we are doing is we are actually in the process of creating another teen shelter. The Harbor Shelter in Hastings provided that, and it worked out well. It was just the owner of the business decided just to retire. Gave 2 weeks notice, unfortunately, but we found another location within the county to kind of actually partner with Washington County on that. So that will be our teen shelter. We feel that we're very close to being able to find an answer to that. We have our homeless youth and a young adult in Lincoln Place in Eagan, and that's for ages 18 to 24. Those are all efficiency apartments. So we already have that, and that's a good list. So we think we've addressed the young people aspect of the housing and homelessness, but we really need the more family and single individuals. So that's step one. Number two is we're going to actually kind of work with our county social services on some of those prevention aspects. You know, we have some people on the radar that are just on that cusp. You know, you can't just have a job and you can't just have your mental health be in the right place. You can't just have a roof over your head. It's really about stability is kind of getting that whole circle, that whole sphere of things. So really, we're going to do a little more prevention aspect there. Work with our landlords. If we know somebody who's getting close on eviction, all that, rather than evict them and then have them nowhere to go and then have their record tarnished, let's do some prevention stuff like that. And then the last thing is our CDA is working on a housing plan to look to be adding somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 new affordable units with city approval so that we've been good partners within the next 15 years. So looking at about 100 units a year that we're going to look at producing. And those units will be some private sector ones that we have, but also the workforce townhouses like you see across from the library, as well as potentially some of our senior in the mix, and then the single residents that we're talking about. But that's really the formula that we're going to work on, and they're going to come back with some recommendations of how that would look, and the county board is going to have those discussions in the coming months.
And when do you think decisions will be made on this, Mike?
Well, some of them will be done, like for the Community Development Agency, they're already, we just gave the heads up to staff to start looking at other sites and working with the cities, because, you know, we actually have most of our cities say, I know there's some stigma to affordable housing, but we like it when the CDA, Community Development Agency, owns them, because the local director of property management is a Hastings, lifelong Hastings resident. She, you know, there's a connections, the police chiefs, they don't, when they have issues, they don't always know who the landlord are, but they go right to the CDA. There's an accountability. Plus, we've tried to make our buildings fit in with the neighborhood. So we often hear that when they find out that the county owns like the townhouse across from the library, they're like, we thought those were privately owned. They look so nice and they're well maintained. And that's very important that we do that, so that we can lessen the stigma and the not in my backyard. So that plan is actually already starting to move forward. We're now going to be in discussions to look at buying some more land to be able to do this work with cities. And then we have a project in Invergrove Heights will probably be our next single resident occupancy that we're going to start working with that city. I believe they're working on it right now, actually.
So I don't take public transportation from Hastings because there isn't any.
That's right.
But I'm trying to figure out, would Invergrove Heights, are they tied into the Twin Cities public transportation?
So everywhere that is not a district that I represent is So one of the factors to get public transit is you have to have be part of a taxing district. The Metropolitan or the Minnesota Valley Transit Taxing District. Everywhere in District 1 is not part of that, but everywhere else, the other six commissioners represent areas that have transit taxing.
So really, some of the challenges that you face in the area you represent are very, very specific. Nobody else can really relate, probably.
Yeah, well, very much so. I'm fortunate I have a colleague who's been on the show a number of times, and she always says, you know, you just tap your nose when you want me to vote your way, because I don't always understand the corns and beans, but I will always support you. So, yeah, District 1 is very different. You know, it's about just under two-thirds of the land of Dakota County, but... I've got all the rural area.
Where is it exactly, Mike?
District 1 is Hastings, Farmington, all 13 townships, and the small cities, going all the way down to the Goodhue border, over to the Rice County border, and the Scott County border. So I've got just under 400 square miles of our almost 600 square mile county. So 22 cities and townships, and they all get along well. I think we've been able to find good partnership, but the needs that I have, you know, some of the broadband needs and that are very different than you see there. And the housing needs, you know, our affordable housing that we have in Hastings and Farmington, 99% of those individuals that are in our housing have their own car. So there still is some challenges with that, but they all, if you're going to live in Hastings or Farmington, you're going to need a car. And that's just kind of the way it goes.
Right. And that's why it is so tough, I think, if you're homeless and you're quote unquote stuck in Hastings. Mm-hmm. It becomes very dangerous as we're heading into the winter months. So it's really great to hear that you are covered if you're homeless and you choose to seek shelter through next June.
Yeah. And, you know, that very, very good point on that. And we had a pre-COVID about 2019, 2020, we started a Hastings homeless task force that was made up of some local pastors, some residents who were passionate about this issue. Hastings Family Service was at the table in the county and tried to say, you know, the people who are homeless within the Hastings area, they don't want to go and take a bus to go and sleep in a church in Apple Valley they're really rooted here. I mean, we found out there was a individual many of us would know who's been living in the woods for over 20 years.
Yes.
Year round. I've seen him around. He is employed and never would have known that this individual has been unhoused for 20 plus years in Hastings. And I would guess most residents would not have known that either. But he doesn't want to leave town. This is his family. This is his home. He fends for himself. And as a result of that, we wanted to go in and say, how do we address that? And we created this partnership, as I was saying, with Salvation Army, where before we were hoteling everybody else, we had partnered with, when it got extreme cold, we found some ways to do some hoteling in Hastings to address those individuals. So we did find that partnership that it isn't a permanent 365, but at least, you know, when we get into those extreme cold temperatures, we were able to find some places where they didn't, you know, they bring everything with them, and these individuals were able to find a hotel room to stay warm during those extreme temperatures.
I think people would be surprised sometimes to hear the stories of how somebody becomes homeless. Mm-hmm. You and I have great families. It's been our safety net. net if, in fact, we run into trouble. But a lot of people don't have that, or they have a car accident and they don't have insurance,
yes.
or they have some sort of a terrible illness, or they have mental illness. Homeless people are a lot more like you and I than mm-hmm. most people would realize.
Yes. I constantly bring up the point of safe and stable, and my colleagues probably don't like that, but it's one of those things. Our previous community services director had gone in and always said, you know, it's just one thing that makes you unsafe at the moment, or that creates the instability that just can just continue down a cycle, and that's all it takes for some individuals. So that's they're like, you might be working and you lose your job, or your child care goes up to a point where you're spending,
or
COVID hits. You know, there's so many things, and I think that's so important that we don't always know everybody's story.
Nope.
And sometimes we just have to be a little bit, take a step back, and not so quick to judge on that. And because everybody has a story, hearing people's stories will certainly change the actions that we take as policymakers, and we just take as people.
So, what can we do to pass this information along to the right folks?
Well, I think there's more partnerships. So I think, you know, the support you can give to the policymakers, both your city, your county, your law enforcement, having law enforcement at the table, because quite frankly, that has always been the answer, is you call the cops first, and then they're in an issue, and they don't always have the, you know, what's your story? What's the instability on there? So I think that's one aspect in there. We're going to know more in a couple months on what we choose to do on our next steps in there. So I think that a great thing that we've been able to do in Vergrove Heights, we partnered with an organization called Center City. We built the building. There's 40-unit apartments. They're all 2 to 4 bedrooms. And every single one of those individuals' families were homeless before they moved into that apartment. And they stay for about 3 years on average. But we're spending about $600,000 of property taxes to provide those services to get them to that safe and stable. That's why, you know, not when they were in crisis. And how do you get safe and stable? So that's what I'd say, you know, just continue to support those people making decisions. I think that we've kind of addressed what we can do locally, Hastings-wise. I think that there are a number of organizations, you know, there's twofold. One is you just give them the food and the roof for the day. There's many organizations that need that, and they need it probably more now than ever. But then we're trying to go and create the cycle to get them, you know, into some safe and stable world. And that's going to take a lot more time and, quite frankly, a bigger investment. There's some really cool organizations that we partner with in the county where it doesn't quite work. Higher Ground in downtown St. Paul is an amazing organization that really is kind of the model that we're looking to follow, where you start in there and you're laying on a cot and you're getting a meal, but then they have different housing options, so that ultimately, you know, we want to hear those success stories where they're into housing and they're found a higher paying job. You know, the stories we hear in our workforce townhouses is how many people end up buying houses eventually. So they went from, you know, barely affording their rent to being able to buy a house. And so there are many success stories we need to do, but it takes time and money.
Mike, how can people get a hold of you, or sure. how can people specifically learn more about this program?
Sure, absolutely. Best way to reach me, actually, and if they want to reach any, if we have some listeners who don't exactly live in the district, they can always reach other county commissioners as well. So if you go to dakotacounty.us, click on Board of Commissioners, all of our contact information is on there, from our office numbers, our emails. It tells it if we, you know, I get a lot of people who reach out to me via Facebook. So that works out as well. So any of those communications in there, my office phone number, my home phone number, my email, Facebook, Twitter, they all work and they all get used. And so those would be the greatest ways to do that, and just continue to share the story. And when opportunities come out there to go in and support this type of work, please try to be positive.
We love it. Thank you so much. Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik, he represents the 1st District, and we're grateful for his time today. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.